want to say that we don't always comprehend the fullness of what tests we're in. Sometimes it's a little bit more difficult, and our ability to discern gets cloudy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Been there many, many times. Very much aware that the saints of the Lord kept me going. But today, as I was pressing in to see what God wanted, I want to just share with you that one of those CDs, or DVDs actually, that I listened to from Kelly brought back to life some of the things that God did quite a few years ago. And this is to kind of verify what your spirit man is and when your beginning really was a reality. And your spirit, not your body. Of the rest of us, were first procreated by El Elyon, the Most High God, before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9 verifies that. If you want to take a look at that, it might be helpful. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." That's the King James, and the Amplified would be basically the same. So, and again, you and I were created in Christ Jesus as a corporate body, as well as individual spirits connected together for God's purpose. Now, the spirits of every one of our Bible students were also procreated by El Elyon, the same name and nature as the Godhead who procreates Jesus. The Bible settles the question of the name of our own Heavenly Father when it says, Psalms 82:6. So you might take a peek at that. Psalms 82:6. "I have said, ye are gods," meaning you belong to him, "and all of you are children of El Elyon, the Most High." So all of us had the same origin from the same procreation that was done by El Elyon at one point. We were not released into our bodies. Our bodies were not created at that time, but our spirit was. Where were you born? When? Right? When were our spirits born? Well, before the world began, according to 2 Timothy 1:9. That's very clear. Before the world began. Ephesians 1:4 will help you out a little bit more. "According as he has chosen us in him," and this will verify it, "before the foundations of the world." Before. Not after. "That we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So notice, it's not a works program that's going to make you holy. So you can quit doing, trying, and pushing yourself to become what you're not. You're not belonging to the enemy. You are a new creation already. It's a fact. It's not something that's going to happen down the road. It's already completed. I believe your word, Peggy, was commissioned of God for that moment. Your word said, could you repeat it, please, that you got? Because I wrote down the mess of it, but I didn't get the whole thing. You saw the fire on the horizon.
And let the seeds fall where they may.
But the bottom line is, without ceasing,
pray without ceasing
for
the kingdom has come.
The kingdom has come. It's already a reality. And God is turning up the heat. Why? Where are all these things that need to fall off? They're in the soul realm. They're on the flesh. They're in Adam. And we talked about Adam. We talked about him quite a bit because he's the Adamic nature. By the way, look at your neighbor and say, you're quite old. So those scriptures show that you are very old. Upon hearing those scriptures, a middle-aged lady in our Bible class said, so that's why I'm feeling so tired. That was a joke because she knew her spirit was ancient, but her tired body wasn't, even though it sometimes felt like it was, and that applies to you also. We are like Jesus, one way in the realm of the spirit. We are like Jesus. We're all fathered by El Elyon before the foundations of the world. Got it? The difference. Now, the difference between Christ Jesus and us is in that he is the only human who was begotten of God in the realm of the body. You and I had Adamic inheritance through our parents. Amen? Jesus did not have Adamic. John chapter 1, verse 14. Very important. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, the Word, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that cool? So he was made from the Father. John 1:18, just a couple of lines down. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. The only begotten Son. So, when you look at this, you say, okay, I'm catching on. Do we really think we've gotten the whole picture? Verse 12. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God in the realm of the body. But in the realm of the spirit, our God has many sons, and that's the verification. Now, I could go on and tell you about Mary and all that stuff, and that's, I think, something you already know. But I think sometimes we underestimate God's creation. And I know for a long time that I did. I think the way that the Holy Spirit confirmed to me that those who him foreknew, he also predestined. Romans 8, 30, 31, 32, somewhere in there. There is some that were created, and I think you can get a little bit of a picture when you see the Lord said that they were the sons of Satan and not the sons of God. And there's a verification that no matter what you say or do, they've not been called. And so there are some that are heading for destruction, and you could beat your brains out trying to convince them that they need to change, but there are some that you're also going to have that same thrust to release grace to them, to intercede for them, to bring them into the kingdom on the day appointed. Now, anybody remember the name of the author of the books that were made into several movies. The guy comes from England, and he wrote many stories. He was an atheist for many, many years. And for me, he was a man that I thought had known the Lord for years and years because of his books. And he had a nephew that he had tried to bring into salvation year after year. He would always attempt. And when the attempts would come, they would fall flat. Did you ever try to talk to somebody about God, but you just know you can't do a darn thing about it? And the name of one of his books is rolling in my head, but I'm trying to think of it, but it's just not coming up. I think I was too long in the realm of the spirit. My brain is disconnected, but it'll come when you least expect it. So anyway, the bottom line that I'm trying to give you is this gentleman passed away. And at his funeral, he was eulogized by many individuals of high caliber because he had an incredible intelligence and, like I said, written many books. And when the eulogy was in process, the pastor, I don't remember if it was a priest or a minister, I don't remember that part. But he had an altar call, which was totally out of order. It was just not something that you do in one of those services. Everything is supposedly written down. You follow the script. If you don't follow the script, you're going to be thrown away, or they'll make sure that you pay a price. But he followed his heart because his heart kept saying, some of you need to bow to the Lord Jesus. And believe it or not, that nephew came to the Lord, running down that aisle, kneeling down, confessing that he had fought his uncle all these years, but that all of a sudden he had an enlightened moment. Just one enlightened moment brought this man to life. And he accepted the Lord. The Screwtape Letters.
C.S. Lewis.
Okay? I knew it would come. It was rolling up there, but there's no way it was making any connections. But I remember that, and I was so blessed because, you know, there are times that you just don't know when God's going to move. Remember, the fire is out there that the Word gave. The fire is coming to burn the chaff. But it's who is it burning the chaff in? It's in us. So the cleaning happens in us, but not necessarily for them just yet, because it may not be their day. Now, I'd like to put the fire under a few, but I would probably fail, because I would put it at the wrong time and the wrong temperature, and probably burn the person as well as the chaff. Amen? So I want you to just close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I am in you, and you are in me. And I'm aware that I had a beginning, which was in eternity with you. And you already prepared a path for me. It is an awesome path. It is prepared ahead. Already declared in the heavens by El Elyon, the Most High God, the same Father who fathered Jesus is my Father. And the calling in my heart is already pre-programmed. It's been downloaded in my spirit. And it will manifest on time. It will not be late. And the scripture says, Acts 16:31, salvation mine,
is mine,
and it's my, and is my household.
And is my household.
The entire house, will be saved. It is God's plan.
It is God's plan.
And it will not return void.
His word
will manifest.
It will divide
the spirit
from the soul.
It'll divide the marrow from the bone.
It'll bring clarity into their hearts
on time, not late.
On time.
Hallelujah. You got it.